Dr. Stulpnagel, I took some notes here when you were testifying about your view of Dr. Zarnik's performance. Among poor, he failed miserably in his job duties. His work on the business plan was a blatant failure, contributing nothing to the company. He had complete lack of focus, absolutely no planning or—
I'm going to object to the—
And he's not even trying.
I'm going to object to the question to the extent that it's culling responses to a number of questions and suggesting that this was a narrative.
Overruled.
Given your testimony, it's a fact, sir, that notwithstanding what you thought of or claimed you thought of Dr. Zarnik, he failed miserably. Incredibly poor performer, contributed nothing, you never gave him a single written warning memo? Is that true?
Not a written warning.
You never discussed these, this incredibly poor performance, at a meeting of Illumina's board of directors, true?
No, as I testified, I talked to the compensation committee that was responsible for senior management performance.
You never brought the fact, you never brought his alleged incredibly poor performance and his miserable failings and the fact he contributed nothing. You never discussed that at a board of directors meeting?
That's correct.
And in fact, you never even began to search for a new CSO during the time you were acting president, true?
It's correct.
Miss Kearns asked you about your notes. If you could open to Exhibit 23, please, page 39, 23, 39.
I'm sorry, 29?
23.
Exhibit 23 through 39.
39.
23 through 39, Bates 2163.
These are notes you took with respect to your first—
Counsel, can you give me just a moment? I only have the first portion of the exhibit. Okay, I've got it. Thank you.
This page, Exhibit 23 at page 39. This deals with your first major crisis as acting president, correct?
Yes.
What is the approximate date of these notes?
Approximately January of 1999.
January of 1999.
That's what I testified.
So this would have been after the two counseling sessions you claim you had with Dr. Zarnik.
Yes, in fact, you referred to these in your direct.
Isn't it true, sir, that as of January 1999, you were confident that you had hired good research and development managers?
I was not confident of that. I wanted to make sure that they were successful.
Didn't you write in your notes that you were confident you hired good research and development managers?
Again, this is a stream of consciousness, and there's a number of suggestions on what I could do to help in the R&D progress. And one of the suggestions was that I would become more involved in the R&D management, and in that context, I could help coordinate between the department managers and acquire more resources. But I wrote the cons, and the cons were that I essentially didn't have more bandwidth to give to the company, that there were good R&D managers there, and I personally did not have the right expertise to lead the R&D organization at that time.
Maybe you're not looking at what I'm looking at. May I approach, Judge?
Sure.
See that line?
Yes, so I read those.
What have you written on that line, sir?
Confident that I have hired good R&D managers.
Confident you hired good R&D managers. That included Dr. Zarnik?
Yes.
That was January of 1999.
Yes.
What is the last time you claim you counseled Tony Zarnik about alleged performance problems?
It would have been that Saturday meeting in April of 1999.
The last time?
Yes.
Timing is important in this case. You didn't counsel him in May, June, July, August, September, or October of 1999 before Mr. Flatley became CEO?
That's correct.
Dr. Zarnik testified about a February 7th, 2000 dinner meeting he had with Jay Flatley. As of that date, February 7th, 2000, had you told Jay Flatley Tony Zarnik suffered from depression?
No.
Do you have any reason to believe that Jay Flatley would have known, as of February 7th, 2000, that Tony Zarnik suffered from depression?
No. In fact, the contrary. Based upon the email he got from Tony 2 months later, where he had no clue what sort of mental or health issues Tony was talking about in that email.
Who at the company, as of February 7th, 2000, when this dinner meeting happened, who at the company knew that Tony Zarnik had depression, to your knowledge?
To my knowledge, the only people who knew were Dr. Mark Chi, Dr. Rich Pytalewski, and me.
But not Jay Flatley?
Not Jay Flatley.
Now, Miss Kearns asked you about severance negotiations that took place between the company and Tony Zarnik, right?
Yes.
And you say that those severance negotiations were because Tony Czarnik had allegedly resigned.
Yes.
Do you have any understanding why Jay Flatley would have offered Tony Czarnik a severance package the day after he fired him?
I have no knowledge about what he may or may not have offered. I can speculate that it was to avoid the expense of a trial such as this, that they were very expensive with respect to hiring attorneys and such.
Clearly, the severance offer made to Tony Czarnik on the day of filing had nothing to do with an alleged resignation. You'd agree with that?
At that point, I would agree it would have nothing to do with a resignation. Tony withdrew his resignation after he had not succeeded in his request not to have all his stock vested.
When do you understand Tony withdrew his resignation?
I have no date that I understood that, but the fact that he continued his employment at Illumina and that he resumed or initiated his position as research fellow to me was a logical conclusion that he was no longer thinking about resigning.
When did you conclude Tony Czarnik had withdrawn any alleged resignation, approximately?
Objection, relevance?
Sustained.
Well, severance negotiations continued after the so-called withdrawal of the resignation, didn't it?
Yes, but, Your Honor, this witness testified he wasn't the one negotiating.
She asked him about this, Judge.
I think it would all be based on hearsay since he wasn't involved in the negotiations.
I'll ask Mr. Flatley. Who's working on binary oligo encoding today?
That's being done by a scientist named Golly Stromberg. I'm sorry, Dr. Golly... I can't remember Golly's last name.
This is an important area to the company?
Yes.
Critical?
Yes.
What's her last name?
Again, I'm not recalling her last name. Her name is Golly. She's a scientist from Israel. She does great work.
And who does Golly, last name unknown, report to?
I believe she reports to Dr. Chengfeng Zhao.
You testified that...
Yes.
You testified that Illumina conducted a 16-bead and a 128-bead experiment?
Yes.
You think maybe a 256?
Yes.
And a 768?
Yes.
Did Illumina ever conduct a 4,096-bead experiment?
I don't recall. Don't know. I think there might have been feasibility experiments that showed that reaching 4,000 was done by Illumina. I don't think we did an experiment to decode 4,000 beads. So again, it's the difference between proof of principle and feasibility versus actually decoding 4,000 beads.
You say the mislabeling of the dyes... No, strike that. Did the mislabeling of the dyes, in your opinion, have no effect whatsoever on the results of the 768 decode experiment?
It did not affect the conclusions that one could draw from the experiment.
Kevin Gunderson is the person who conducted that experiment, isn't he?
He was among a team. This was a team project. It involved the people both from the chemistry department and from the molecular biology department.
Did you read Kevin Gunderson's report about the 768-bead experiment?
I don't think I did.
You never did? Even up through today's date, you have not seen it?
No.
Would it surprise you if he said the results were somewhat compromised because of the mislabeling issue?
That certainly could be. Kevin is a great scientist. The fact that results are compromised doesn't lead one to reach the conclusion that the conclusion was wrong or the conclusion was incorrect.
How about the conclusions were at least compromised or questionable?
Absolutely not.
Have you read Dr. Gunderson's deposition testimony?
No, I have not.
Well, it being 401...
Do you have any more questions? I don't want to...
I'm finished. Thank you, Judge.
I have nothing further.
Okay. Gee, that's too bad. The question was asked by Miss Mack if we're on schedule or not.
Yes, I was curious if it would go beyond July 4th.
What I'm going to ask the attorneys to do over the weekend is give us a day-by-day who the witnesses are going to be each day. It really is hard to tell because generally in civil trials, they start, it seems oftentimes, the main witnesses testify first, and their testimony is very time-consuming. As it goes on, things pick up a little bit, so I can't say for sure. If we get close to the 4th of July, I think we'll consider taking days off around the 4th of July so as not to interfere with plans people have made.
I have an important doctor's appointment that is critical to me.
What day?
2nd, so I could change it.
Yes.
If you are going to get to a point where you are going to take days off, I want to know.
I think it's... Bring it up next week. Do you want to change it now?
I don't know. Should I?
I think it's a good bet. We can't say. If you are deliberating on July 3rd, maybe we'd allow that. Does anybody have plans on July 3rd right now?
Council does.
That's a Monday, right?
July 3rd is a Wednesday.
The only problem I have is my company only will take care of me for 30 working days.
We're not.
No.
We're talking 12. Our estimate, as a matter of fact, was really for 12 days, and we're now on our sixth day, I think. So we're not going 30 days? No, can't happen.
Please, please understand. I'm not challenging you.
We're not going to go 30 days.
I thought you originally said 14 to 16 days. I could be wrong.
I think I said probably. Didn't we say done by July 4th is what we said?
I thought you did say that. Now she's talking about the 7th and you are...
The 2nd.
I misunderstood.
Also, I have a conflict on July 1st. I'm trying to work that out. Why don't we talk about this more next week? If we're going to go over July 4th, I think it's probably likely we probably won't if we're not going to be done. I would like to think, unless everybody wants to be in session on July 3rd, if somebody has plans, we may not be in session on July 3rd. The 5th is a Friday, so unless we wouldn't be, the court will be open, but we won't be in session.
5th, if we're in deliberation, would you have us in?
If somebody had a problem like previously scheduled family thing on the 5th, I probably wouldn't force it. The other thing, too, is if it's one person with a problem and we're at the very end of the case, we have an alternate. We might bring one of the alternates in. We're doing really well so far. We've only lost one juror. As it gets closer, try to minimize the hardships on everybody. We really are trying to work hard to try to keep this schedule, and by asking the attorneys to list all their witnesses day by day, I think by next week we'll have a better idea. So we'll take our recess at this time. We'll be in recess until 9 a.m. Monday morning. Please remember the admonition not to form or express any opinion about the case, not to discuss the case. We'll be in recess until 9 a.m. Monday morning. Have a pleasant weekend.